Church. Let's worship the Lord.
Save. soul. I will wait on the Lord. He has overcome. I will sing Jesus. In the dark, in the death, you're my hope, you're my rest. On this rock I stand. I will sing Jesus. Just be still, oh my soul. I will wait on the Lord. He has overcome. I will sing Jesus. In the dark, in the depths, you're my hope.
guys are ready to worship today. I can tell that's awesome. So, Lord, we just want to thank you, God, for your presence being here. Just what an awesome day today that we're just going to celebrate some new members. We're also going to do some baptisms real quickly after church in the creek, and hopefully it's not that cold, but you'll warm it up, or I will. But anyway, Lord, we just give you praise for who you are, and that just everything that's going on today, God, we just set all of our worries and concerns and all the other stuff away, and just want to focus on you and what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. At this time, our kids are going to go to our Haven Kids, and then those of you who have been here for a while, we usually go right into a video, but we're going to have some new members. So say to somebody, say, good seeing you today. Yeah. All right, how you doing?
Good.
That good, huh? How you doing?
Good.
Am I on?
Yeah,
okay, you're just ignoring me. That's good. All right. Okay, good to see everybody here today. We have a couple people who are joining the church today. I believe we have Tammy Morris, and I think the Sharplesses are not here, Susan and Larry, and Bethany. I know she's doing Sunday school, but getting a break and coming. Oh, there she is. All right, Laura Young, Joe Young, and if you guys will come on up here, you can come up in the light right here. You guys stand right here. How you doing?
Good.
All right. So, all right, let's see who do we have here first. We have Bethany first, right? Bethany, you down there first? Oh, no, Tammy's here. All right. So, all right. You cheated. You snuck in. Okay, there you go. All right. All right, so Ron's going to give you, Ron will go first here with Tammy. Something I like to do, if you ever read in Scripture, names mean something. And so, you know, a lot of times, when you're really going through names as a kid, when you're going to have a kid, anybody ever go through names and you went through several different ones? And I always remember, I'm the one in the family who tries to figure out how other people are going to make fun of it. So that's my job, to make sure that you don't name it. Dave's shaking his head. I know he's probably the same way. But names do mean something in the Bible. They always reference names. And so Tammy, your name means palm tree. There you go. And it's from the Hebrew tomorrow. And it means, in Psalm 92, 12 through 13, it says, the righteous will flourish like a tammy, like a palm tree, and they will grow like the cedars of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. And so we're so glad that you're here. We know that you've already planted here, and you're already flourishing, and we're thanking God for your gifts. That's for sure. All right? You can clap. Go ahead. All right. Like I said, Susan and Larry aren't here today. And Bethany, right? You know what your name means? Okay, I'm going to warn you. Don't ever connect and change your last name to Newton, because your name means House of Figs, and you would be House of Fig Newtons. All right, so anyway. This is a very important town. It really, as a town, it was prominent in figs, which they ate a lot there. But it's a town where Lazarus raised from the dead. It's where Mary and Martha lived. And it was kind of Jesus, when he was in Jerusalem, it was his hometown. It's kind of like where he went and his family was. And there's so many different areas. Jesus was hungry and was headed out of, was leaving Bethany, and he went by a fig tree. Why? Because it's the house of figs. It's the city of figs, that whole kind of thing. And it didn't have any fruit on it, and it should have, and he cursed it. Jesus was anointed in Bethany by Mary, and she used her hair to do that, and he was at he did several other things. He was reclining at the house of Simon the leper that was there. He wasn't a leper then, or else they wouldn't have been around him. It was somebody who Jesus healed. He went on the Mount of Olives. He was coming from Bethany. And so we have that. And the ascension, guess where Jesus was? Bethany area. So it goes on and on and on. And it says, like there's this verse, it says, this all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John is baptizing. So John was baptizing over by Bethany on the other side of the Jordan. So your name doesn't just mean figs. It's the place you say, hey, Jesus liked figs. He hung out. But he loves you, and I know that God is doing great things through you. And in your service here, I know you're with the kids a lot and helping in the children's ministry, and that's a total blessing. So we're just glad that you're here, and God bless you. All right, Laura Young. I've known her for 400 years, right? Laura, your name means City of Laurels, and it comes from Laurentum, Italy. And a laurel historically has been used as a valuable flavoring agent in culinary food industry. It's a plant used in folk medicine, and it's good for the digestive system, all right? And so there's only a couple verses about laurel, depending upon the translation, but I have a couple different things here. The first, Deuteronomy says, I'm going to give you the first one. The one that really just has laurel in there, and it depends on, it's in the Holman Standard Bible, and it says, he cuts down the cedars for his use, or he takes a cypress or an oak, he lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest, he plants a laurel, and the rain makes it grow. The other one that's an allusion to that is Deuteronomy. It says, for the Lord is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies in victory. And one of the reasons why I said that is because laurels grew very rapidly, and they spread a lot, and they were used for a lot of things. But the main thing they were used for back then, it was they would make a wreath and with branches. And in ancient Greek, they were given to victors as a crown. In athletic competitions, in poetic meets, I don't know how you decide who wins a poetry thing, but the Greeks did. In Rome, it was a symbol of a victory. And so, in crowning a triumph. So I know you a long time, and I know that God has used your influence to spread out to so many people and reach them likes the spreading laurels, but I also know he gives you victory in all your battles and all your life, and you've always served the Lord. And I know he's bringing you victory each and every day, and that's you're going to have a crown that you're going to give to him, and I know that's what it all means. So we love having you here for sure. I've known Joe about the same amount of 400 years, but Joe, your name means God will increase, all right? So there you go. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. It says, and there's several verses about this, the Lord increasing. It says, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord will, your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. And I've known Joe is definitely the gentle giant, unless you were playing a game and really got after you back in the days, right? But Joe is a guy who just carries that presence of the Lord that just being around him, God increases, and you just know that he just loves the Lord and loves you, and he's just a good, great man, and I've known him for a lot of years. They did a lot of years back in the day when we were youth, and there's a lot of middle-aged people who love the Lord because of them, and so we're thankful for you, and we love you all. All right? So I just want to pray over them real quick, if you will. So, Lord God, I thank you for the members that are here, along with Larry and Susan, who couldn't be with us today. I just know that, God, you brought them here to Haven to do exactly what several of them in the verses said, that they just plant and that they'll increase in their gifts and the giftedness. And, God, we'll give you the praise and glory for all things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Thank you, bud. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, dear.
Love you.
Thank you. Extra for Bethany because she's going back with the kids. So.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want every child to know that there's a God. I want every child to know that God loves them, that God sent his son from heaven to this earth to take our sins. We've got a charge to go into the world, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God, here I am. Take me and send me and use me.
When that shoebox is open, they're overjoyed.
You can see them shouting, jumping.
Oh, look at how much they are excited. This is the first time those children are receiving the shoeboxes. They are so happy.
Every box is important because every box is an opportunity to tell a child about God's love, about his son, Jesus Christ.
If you get the heart of the child, you will reach the heart of the parents, you will reach the heart of the family, and then you will touch the community. That gift box is the beginning into their hearts.
Isn't it incredible how these gifts touch the lives of these children? Every year we see tens of thousands of children discipled, and we couldn't do this without you, so thank you for packing the boxes, thank you for praying for these children around the world. God bless you, and keep packing those boxes.
Good morning. Guess good morning works better. I'm just excited about those boxes. Do you see those happy faces? I mean, that is amazing. We're putting Jesus in their hands. I think it's just great. We have plenty of boxes out there. I know Jack hasn't given us a number, but I have 200 boxes ready to go, and I will get more. So keep grabbing and keep packing and keep stacking them. Today, I just want to say hi to our folks out there online. What a beautiful day. And Community Kitchen, thank you everybody who's volunteered. We got all of our opportunities are filled. And today is just so exciting to have baptism and new members come into this church. It's just really exciting. I do want to reach out to a few people with prayer. Paul's going to have some new medicine to get him all squared away with breathing. And David Cox is a friend of ours from Rising Sun. He's still in shock trauma, battling some heart issues, and he's a very young man, so we want to keep him in prayer. And Sandy Weary's sister, Pam, we want to keep her in prayer. She's ongoing fifth time with cancer treatments, and we really want to lift her. And Scott and Jen have asked us to lift Bernie, our girlfriend, and you too. I'm sorry. Oh. Okay. Sharon too. I mess up. I have you first, then them. What can I say? Anyway, Bernie is in the hospital with double pneumonia, and we want to get her better, okay? So we are going to pray for her and get her better. Holly, we're going to lift up Mom and Dad and some unspoken prayers, and I just have a praise for that girl. She's learning how to do auto stuff, and I'm telling you, as a woman, that's a smart move, just a smart move. And Donna, prayers for clarity and prayers for her son-in-law, Curtis, for health issues. That he's doing okay. And I don't usually do this, but go Eagles, go Orioles, go West Virginia. I think they all had wins yesterday. Oh, and Phillies, I forgot them. Where's my husband? He'll kill me. Anyway, they're all doing good, so it's exciting. And ladies, just a reminder in the bulletin, register for our fun retreat. We're going to have fun, fellowship, food, and silliness. Got to find another word for that, but anyway, we're going to have fun. And what was that? Oh, can you spell that? Because I know I can't say it. Anyway, we just want to welcome you all to a fun event. If you want to sign up, get signed up. If you don't know how, see Laura or myself, okay? We're going to pray today. We're going to put our hands on our knees. She's going to put her hands on that baby. It's all good. And we're going to give it to God. This is where we let it go. Give it to him, whatever was on your shoulders, on your heart, in your head, that was giving you some trouble. because God takes care of our troubles. He takes them away. He heals. He gives us blessings. He shows us mercy. And he gives us love, unconditional love. No matter where you are in your life, you can turn to God and he's there no matter what. He's listening. He's there for you. So turn it over to him. And I pray that he will lead each one of you into the light where we can spread God's word. We are his hands and feet, and we are paying it forward and sharing his love. That's what it's all about. That's why I love this church so much, because it's full of his love. And it's great to see all these faces. I pray that God will heal you. He'll work with you. He'll be there for you, for your loved ones, for those who are falling. He'll pick them up. I pray for Pastor Jack today as he brings us his messages, because that man is certainly full of Jesus. And we love him, and we love Haven. And I want to thank everybody that's here today. I see a lot of repeat faces, and that's exciting. Jesus loves you, and in his name I pray these things. Amen.
Make you happy? I'm surprised Joanna wasn't up doing a salsa or something around here. But all right, next week, be ready. We'll get you to come back or keep you away. I don't know where you want. But how you doing? You guys are, it's cold, right? Do you feel fall? A little bit of fall? You guys been outside lately? You awake? Look at the person next to you, the one you didn't say welcome to church. Say, you awake? See, it's even taking a while for that, but anyway. Good seeing everybody here today. And, you know, sometimes, you know, like, I was just thinking about just COVID the other week. I was just thinking about that because we hear about that again. I was just thinking about, like, the 15 weeks where we just didn't see anybody and that, just how weird and crazy that time was. And we just pray that God will keep working through all that stuff and people who are sick with that and other kinds. Lots of stuff. Everybody went back to school, so everybody's sick again because they're all passing it around with each other. But yes, we're together. So we're together passing around germs. Hallelujah, right? We have that. Again, Operation Christmas Child, do your best to load those up as many as you want. I haven't given you a number yet. Last year we were close to 300. I definitely want to go over that and maybe even more. We have a setup you can give online too, is that right? Through havencc.org. Also, in front of you in many areas, there are the QR codes in front of you, and you can go ahead and get our church app. And that gives you everything that you need. So I challenge you to go ahead and take your smartphone out and do that. This will get your smartphone on the bulletin. If you didn't get a paper one or you don't want paper cuts or whatever, you can get it digitally and have that. Again, don't forget Grief Share. They're a meeting, and going along Grief Share has been awesome for so many people with a wide area of dealing with grief and for many different ways. Joanna mentioned about the women's retreat on the 21st. And again, that's one of those things that even if you aren't from this church or you know somebody who isn't from this church and you say, wow, they might really want to go there, take the information to them. It's open to anybody that wants to come, and they'll have a great time and give a chance for the women to go ahead and get connected further to the Lord. All right? So everybody ready? Okay. When the last couple days, weren't they just awesome, beautiful? Anybody like that weather? How many like that weather? Okay, I love it. I love it. It's fall in the air, football, all that kind of good stuff. So we're in week two of a series. It's one in a style that I've done before, where historically it's called "You Really Want to Know." Wanted to know, and over the back at twice in the 15-year history of this church, I went ahead and did this series or similar one. First was "You Want to Know," and then it was "You Really Want to Know," and now it's "You Really Wanted to Know." So, or "You Wanted to Know," and then it's "You Really Wanted to Know." So I'm going through some topics. Now, historically, what it came from, a couple times, and we did it like 2 years ago, at Easter, when there's a lot of people running in and out, what we did, we went ahead and there was a questionnaire. Some filled out online, some were in cards. We've done it a couple times, and people gave the main topics of something that they would like to know about, and it's kind of some choices. And so last week we talked about stress. Anybody have a stress out week that you didn't have any stress in your life? Anybody follow any of those things? You're too stressed to answer? Okay, I get it. But we talked about stress. That is always one of the top ones that's on there. Today is one that I really like, and not only you, but many other people want to ask about this. How do I hear God's voice? Right? Have you ever heard somebody who said, "I was praying the other day and God spoke to me," and you were like, "He never spoke to me," or "How does he speak to you?" You want to know that, correct? Right? And one of the things is, in churches, a lot of times we feel like we can't ask those questions, where I hope you realize you can ask those questions. That's what church is for. So the question is, how can I hear God's voice? And I love it. I love that question because it's a very, very important question. And it's awesome that people want to know that, because the assumption, right, a way is this, that in order to hear God's voice, you're saying God is speaking, right? So, and that's important. You say, well, why is it important? Because in some Christian faiths, they actually teach that God has stopped talking. They actually teach that after the last disciple died, or when the Bible was canonized, that was perfection, and God said, "I'm out. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to wait till everything comes down." Now, Jesus himself said, "Hey, I'm going to send another counselor, the Holy Spirit, to teach you." And, I don't know how much you can teach just by going like this. So I believe God speaks today. I know God speaks today. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Now, God's voice. Sometimes when you look at, I believe God is definitely a communicating kind of God. But sometimes you wonder, how's he going to do it? We like thunder, peals of thunder. We like, rah. What's interesting is if God answers really loudly, we're all going to get really scared, right? I love the story of Elijah when he ran away to the cave, and there's a windstorm, and there's, earthquake and all this stuff. And after each of those things, it says, but the Lord was not in those. And then finally, what was he in? He was in a whisper, a still small voice, like, hey. And that's what we're going to really kind of unpack today. How do we hear God's voice? Is it in the thunder? Is it in a whisper? And a lot of times we get these impressions or feelings, and we check to make sure that they are in accordance with God's word. And a lot of times we go, is that from God, or did I eat bad seafood last night? You know what I mean? We go through these different kinds of things many times, but we need to check. How do we check? We make sure that it lines up with God's word, and that's one thing we do. So let's look at this. Our bottom line is this, that God is speaking, God wants to speak, and God can, and God will speak. Dallas Willard, who wrote a book called Hearing God, and in it he put this quote, "If God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they can have a personal relationship with God." Correct? If you can't talk to God, if you talk to him and God's not going to answer, let me ask you this. If you're in a relationship, how strong is that relationship if you talk to them and they don't answer back? Husbands, try this week with your wives. See how long that lasts, correct? What would you do if you just went home and you went home, husbands or wives, either way, and they're talking to you and you go, and they just keep ignoring you? How many of you are going to be here next week, but it'll be at your funeral, right? I mean, that's one of the things. Why are you ignoring me? How dare you do that stuff? And so we need to know that God loves us and he wants a relationship with us. Isn't that what we talked about in the last series? That from the beginning, God created Adam and Eve to have a relationship with them. Sin separated that, sent Jesus so he could restore the relationship, and he's coming again. Why? To take us home, to be with him. That is a God who wants a relationship with us. That's not a God who's just sitting back going, I'm not talking anymore. Okay? So we want to look at this, and I love this quote. God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. Even in the last part of the Bible, it says, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Spirit of God is speaking to the churches. So we believe that God is a speaking God, and even the third verse of the Bible tells us several ways how God is always speaking and he wants to talk to us. In John chapter 10, which is our main verse for today, it says this. Jesus says this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and he uses this motif of the sheep and the shepherd. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. Isn't that nice to know that he's always going ahead of us? The shepherd goes ahead in case there's any danger there. And he would have. I love what somebody said one time, you have the sheepdogs. I know, Teresa likes some sheepdogs, some border collies. We have border collies and Aussies and all those. And they just naturally herd. Like Melissa's had a couple chickens out yesterday, and the oldest one, who doesn't move for anything but food, she went outside and started barking and started just like herding them in. You know, that's just part of them. Surely goodness and mercy, somebody said, they're the sheepdogs, hemming us in all the day. And God, and the Lord's leading us as a shepherd. So it says he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. In order to know somebody's voice, you have to do what? They have to hear, and they have to be what? Oh, you guys are slow today. Say it again. You have to be what? You have to talk. You gotta listen, and God has to? Oh, my gosh. Talk. Everybody say talk. 1, 2, 3. There we go. Good job. A little bit sleepy today, okay? All right. So, and it says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. All right? And so sheep actually do run away from a stranger's voice. So I was just thinking and preparing for the service, how many times that I can really say I heard from God. And, you know, I'll get these kind of, you know, feelings at times. But when I first started in ministry, I was late in the United Methodist Church. They had what they called the candidacy study, and you would go through that, and it made you a candidate for ministry, and they put you in a church. And I was just too late for that. I was really bummed and everything. And then the next year came by, and they said, okay, you're a candidate for ministry, and I had to jump through all these hoops, and they said, yay, you're a candidate. And they said, there's some churches that are available, and I had a friend who knew some of the churches that were available, and one of those was, two of them were in a charge, which is two churches put together, and you would be at one time and one at another time. And it was in Fair Hill. It was St. John's in near Louisville, Pennsylvania. And the other one was Morse Chapel off of Blake Road. And I remember just one day I was out. I was still working for an oil company, and I was in sales, and I was driving. And God told me to just go check it out. Go check out those two churches. And I pulled into Morse Chapel, and I sat in that parking lot. And there I heard God say, you're going to do some really cool ministry here. And that was it. I said, okay. And when you know, they called me and said, that's where it is. Okay. That was one. The other one, when I was preaching my first service in Lewis, Delaware, great place, great people. I was conflicted because, as I said, the United Methodist Church has, which I was with, historically does this thing called musical chairs where they move pastors around all the time. And I went to Lewis, Delaware, and I remember I was preaching my first sermon, and I was talking about, it was a really good sermon, too. It was one about where God called Abraham to go to another place. And I was in the middle of the second service there. They had three services. I was in the middle of the second one, and I audibly heard God say, go. And my question was, where? I just got here. Where do you want me to go? All right? And then I started asking, where? And Melissa said, did you ask him when? I'm like, no. He told me to go. I'm ready to go. And it was 2.5 years later when God called me back here to go ahead and start Haven Church. And that was a time where I heard God too. It was pretty amazing how hearing God. I was, you know, one of the really cool things about being a pastor in Lewis was if you just needed to go get away, you could go sit on the beach. And I did that, and I just heard God telling me, and he said, you're going to start a church, and you're gonna do some things. And one of the times I was cutting the grass at home, and as I was cutting the grass at home, I heard God say, Haven. Real audible, Haven. I went in that night, and I went downstairs. I was still, Pastor and Lewis went down in my basement office and started laying out the original logo with the hands and stuff there. That was, and that came that night. I had that done a year and a half before Haven ever started. God audibly told me, cutting my grass. As someone once told me after I was preaching, I said, I was thinking the other day, as I was preparing for this sermon, and I was cutting grass, and somebody said, you got way too much grass because your sermon's too long. But anyway, a call to be a pastor. I remember hearing God's voice in Northeast United Methodist Church at a during a youth weekend and a revival. And then in certain messages series and personal life, like when Jacob was, when Melissa was pregnant with Jacob, and he was a high-risk pregnancy, and we were at, you know, we didn't know what was going on, and even if we did, we still would have been a little freaked out. And every night, it seemed like we were going to the hospital. And I remember one time where she was bleeding, and it was early, and it happened to be the weekend that all the firemen were down in Ocean City, and so we had to wait longer and longer and longer. And I remember standing up. And Melissa's laying in there. We're freaking out. We didn't know what to do, and didn't know whether we were going to lose him or not. And he's here. I think I saw him, right? Yeah, he's here. He's 25, right? You're 25? Yeah. So I had him when I was 5. But I remember standing out in the parking lot, and God said, "No, I've got a call on his life, and he's going to be fine." And he is. You know, I mean, he's got less hair than his dad, but it's okay, right? But anyway. But, you know, God has worked in his life, and I've seen that. I've seen that call of God, and that just had me calm enough to trust in him, all right? And God still speaks today, and I believe that. I believe that. So I want to share today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share some reasons why we don't hear God clearly, and then I'm going to share ways that we can hear God clearly. Because if I just share why you can't hear it and you don't know how to fix it, I'm not helping anything, correct? All right, so you ready? Are you ready? I want to hear you. Are you ready? All right, there we go. All right, so what I call this one is all dem hearing distractions, ADHD. Like it? All right, there we go. All dem hearing distractions. And what I mean here is because the fact is God is speaking, and often we don't hear it. And he's saying a lot of different things. So the number one thing that I think is the reason why we don't hear God is this: busyness. Everybody say busyness. It is often difficult to hear from anyone or to have a successful relationship with anyone if you are just too busy. Busyness has become chronic in our society. We talked about it a little bit last week, and that's adding to stress. In Luke chapter 10, in the Amplified version, Jesus is at the home of Mary and her sister Martha, which is in Bethany. And here's this great story here, and here it says, and she, meaning Martha, Martha's right, what's happening? Martha is going ahead and she's fixing stuff, getting ready, because there's a lot of people there. She's the hostess. She's making sure everything's taken care of. And it says, and she, Martha, had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet. So and it says this, and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, and I love what the Amplified does, it adds a little thing, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. Now, I think a lot of pastors have beaten Martha up because nobody's eating if Martha ain't out there working. You know what I mean? You know, and so I get that. Let's not forget her gift and how awesome it was. But what ends up happening is Martha ends up saying, hey, Lord, tell her to get in here and help me. I always recognized when my kids growing up, I did it myself. Like if I got in trouble for something, I say, well, what about Jill? What about, and that's what Martha's doing. Hey, I'm out here slaving. Mary's just sitting there at your feet. Listen to your teaching. And Jesus pretty much said to her, hey, you know, there's a time for that stuff, and that's awesome. But right now, this is really important that we have here. Mary made a choice to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to Jesus' teaching. Did Mary have stuff to get done? Yes. Of course she did. But Martha was doing everything, and she was missing out on Jesus' teaching. Jesus was teaching them and talking to them. And Martha missed out on it all because she chose what she was doing here, the busyness. Overly occupied and too busy was more important. Not bad. Wasn't like she was smoking crack outside. It was that she was going ahead and she was trying to do a good thing, but it was keeping her away from something that was more important. She was getting food and other stuff ready when what she really needed to do was sit down and be fed spiritually. And a lot of us are, there's a lot of Martha in a lot of us. A lot of us, including myself, we're too busy. Life is too busy, too hectic. And if it's not, we're going to find something to fill it. And we wonder why we're not hearing from God, because we're too busy doing all the stuff and not sitting at his feet. And the truth is, we're never going to hear from God if we're too busy. God's schedule, we need to put God in our schedule. We've talked about that several times and really work on that. I haven't been the greatest about that, but one of the things I've learned is that I have to make time for God. If I don't, then there's no time for God. What I mean is this, is if I go ahead and I don't really say, no, it's just me and God's word, or it's just me and worship, if it's just me doing that and the Lord, then it's not going to happen. Something else is going to come in and take that. Something else is going to come in and take that. And you have to protect that time as well. In Psalm 46, it says this, be still, for right there, that's torture for a lot of us, right? Be still and know that I am God. And be still is not in my being. I don't like to sit still. And some of you know, I've shared this before, that a lot of times the way I pray is I'm up, I'm walking. I'm talking. That means I keep my eyes open, all right? And that's okay. It's not. I'm not going to get struck by lightning because I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to Ron and going, hey, Ron, how you doing? You know, I mean, it's a part of reverence, but you can keep your eyes open and talk to the Lord. And you can walk and talk. It keeps me in emotion, keeps me going. It's something that you learn from the Orthodox Jews. They rock back and forth a lot of times to keep them in a rhythm so that they can go ahead and focus on God. Also, I challenge you, don't do it on your phone. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to be focused on God and bing, bing. Oh, it's Amazon Prime days. Oh, okay. You know, we're going to get distracted by so many different things. And that's what happens. Think about how many times your phone goes off for an email, a text, a push notification, something. How much we're distracted by that time and time again. So we need to be still and know that I'm God. A lot of times we focus on the be still, but we're never still enough to know God. And this, if we're not still, then we're never going to know God. The quieter you become, the more you're going to hear God. Okay, get still. Get still from God. So suggestions, we talked about it last week. Make your Sabbath. Really embrace the Sabbath. Maybe today's it. Not just church time, but what would it look like if you took an hour or two in addition to church to go for a walk, to hear God, to get out of the hustle and bustle, not filling your life with chores and to-do list, but other things that you can just focus on God. I'm not saying you can't focus on God doing your chores. When I'm on that riding mower, my mind is going, and I have lots of awesome conversations with God, okay? And so you may be somebody who does that. That might be the only way you get silence, is to do something like that. That's fine. You got to figure out what it is for you. What's the time for you and God? You may be a nature person, and you need to go. You may be a person that needs to just get in a... one of the other things that I do, I get in my car, and I'll go, and I'll sit somewhere, and that's my best Bible reading, when I'm in a car by myself, with my phone off, okay? Because it'll get distractions, all right? So that's some of those. And the thing is, there's so many things. If it's not Sunday, find some other day and do that. Number two, competing voices. Competing voices. God could literally be yelling at you, but you have thousands of other things blaring, and you won't be able to hear him. One of the interesting things is if you're at a football stadium or a concert, anybody know how we make the crowd noise if we're imitating? How do we do it? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, right? It's just a lot of noise. But one of the noise is so loud in those places, and now they have, like, you know, speakers that are super loud. But anyway, just in the conversation, it's so loud, you can't hear sometimes the person right next to you. Anybody ever been to a concert and you're like, hey, one of the things that drives me batty is like when you go out to eat and there's a band. I like the bands and stuff. But when you go out to eat and you're like looking at the person across the table, hey, what did you order? Hey, are you going to eat the French fries? What did you say, Friday? No. Ah, you know, it's so loud you can't have a conversation. Anybody been there? And so a lot of times you can see in a football stadium, what they've done is you can have a full football stadium. Everybody's talking. You can't hear somebody two next to you. But if you got everybody quiet and somebody all the way across the field starts talking, the only person you can hear exactly everything they say. And that's how we live our lives, with so much noise, so much other stuff all around us, that in order to hear God, we need to clear some stuff out of the way. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus talked about these competing voices. He said, but they all began to make, he's calling people, and he said, but they all began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another one said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Next one says, please excuse me. Still another one said, I just got married, so I can't come. That's excuses, right? They said they were making excuses. Jesus was calling them to follow him. These are people that could have been the next disciples. Not many people were called by Jesus. You realize that? They could have been called to follow him, but they had excuses. They had too much other stuff in their life. And, you know, God is in competition with things in our life, and we need to say, what is God in competition for in my life? We need to eliminate. We need to restrict some things. Like I've mentioned some of it already, restrict some things digital, all things digital. Too much Facebook, not enough face of Jesus. People, like, I remember sitting in a restaurant and seeing a family at dinner, and I'm guilty of it too. You sit down, what do? You pull out your phones. Everybody do it? And I remember one time that the people were sitting there, and they must have been there for 30, 40 minutes, and they didn't say a word to each other. They were just, I don't know where they were talking to each other and saying, this food is really good. I don't know. What do you think? What are we going to do when we leave here? I don't know. The movie starts. I don't know. They didn't say a word to each other. And they were just doing all that. I found out so many things about time wasters. A new poll showed that the average person wastes close to 2 hours a day. And they're not all time-wasting things that are done by themselves. But the top 3 offenders of things that weren't done by themselves but are time wasters is being stuck on hold. Anybody like that? Being stuck on hold? Waiting in lines. Sitting in traffic. All right? The average person wastes over 12 hours a week on that stuff. So that's 624 hours a year. That's 26 days that you are wasting in those 3 things. A few other time training activities are here. Scrolling through social media. Just scrolling through that 2.5 hours. And most kids, they say, are spending more than 5 hours a day on social media or playing video games. 32% of teens surveyed said that they were online for 5 to 6 hours. 17% reported being online for 7 to 8 hours. And 13% need to have a full-time job because they're online 9-plus hours a day. You add to that flipping through television channels 23 minutes per day. That comes to, ready for this, 1.3 years in a lifetime if you live to be 80 years old. You have flipped through channels on a TV for 1.3 years of your life. Yep. And the other time waster, waiting for food to be delivered. And 56% of the people say they'd like to be more productive with their time in general, but life is so hectic and we're too tired to make it happen. People are never satisfied because they say, even though it's so hectic, they also say that they get bored or have nothing to do 3 times a day. I remember when one of our kids was little, he would say, I'm boring. I'm like, yeah, you are. All right. Yeah. So think about it, 160 hours in 1 week. And so for argument, let's say that the average of 50 hours a week sleeping, some of you are like, oh, thank God, I wish. And some of you are saying that sounds torturous. But an average of 50 hours a week sleeping, an average of 55 hours a week working. And the rest is the rest of our numerous activities, eating, cleaning, cooking, lawn and landscaping, shopping, caring for others, children participating in extracurricular activities, hobbies, schoolwork, homework, that kind of stuff. Add to that the other things like watching TV, social media, internet, games, and other entertainment, and then you add some uniquely Christian stuff. Go to church, pray, reading the Bible, small groups, volunteer in ministries and missions, community service, etc. And these numbers are definitely all different for other people. But let's just say that we spend 100, with those numbers, let's say we spend 168 hours per week like this. Sleeping 50, working 55, on numerous other daily activities and stuff, 59, and on Christian activities involving God, 4. The average American spends per day in religious and spiritual activities 9 minutes. All these things are needed and important, but they have a place. And we wonder why we're not hearing from God, because 9 minutes a day in any relationship is not a good relationship. Hebrews 12 says this, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up, and we must focus on Jesus. We must focus on Jesus. Everybody say, we must focus on Jesus, on Jesus, okay? So to hear God's voice, you'll have to turn down the world's volume, right? Sometimes you know how you realize when you finally get old? Anybody, I found that exactly how you realize when you finally get old. When you say to one of your children, turn that music down. Or what is that garbage you're listening to? Anybody ever done that? You think you're never going to get there, but you do, and that's when you realize that you're old. Number three, the third reason that we have trouble hearing God is an unprepared heart. Jesus said, I'm speaking, but you just aren't ready for it to sink in. I love this because this puts a large part of the responsibility on us. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hands. This is one of those rhetorical questions. How did you prepare your heart today before coming to church? And I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. How many said, I wonder what God's got for me today? Like, what if you spent 5 or 6 minutes before coming to church just being still and saying, okay, God, I want you to get all this stuff in my life out of the way because I want to be really prepared for what you want to plant into my life this week. Matthew 13, 19 is one that we know that many people have been around church for a while know very well. It's a parable of the seed and the sower. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is like a sower that's throwing seed on everywhere, and he talks about different places where it lands. And in verse 19, in the Message version, aren't sure of that, on our website under the archived sermons, there's one from 2016 that I did, and it's one of the most memorable ones because some people go, oh, it's the one where I had seed and had the hose out and was spraying people. It was my Gallagher sermon, all right? So many people are like, oh, yeah, I remember that one. But here's what it says. It says, when anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it remains on the surface. It just remains on the surface. It's just sitting there. It's like throwing it on concrete. Like, I can have the most fertile seed. Like, right here, I can throw the most fertile seed on the stage here and come back 10 years if nobody vacuumed it up, and what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing, because it's not made, it's not prepared to take root in that. And so, but if I threw it in fertile soil just a little bit, in a day or two, you're going to start to see something sprout up. And it says, and so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. And this is one of the things that we need to know. If we aren't prepared, we could have a lineup of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Billy Graham. We could have, Smith Wigglesworth. You're like, who's that? Look him up. You could have all these people. We could have Charles Finley. We could have John Wesley. We could have the greatest preachers in all history lined up with a grand crescendo at the end of Jesus giving us the last part of it. We could all listen to that. And if our hearts aren't ready, it's just going to be blown away. It's going to just go, and Satan's just going to snatch it away. It's not going to matter at all. We've got to get our hearts ready, and we've got to do that. So God is showing up. God is speaking, and he speaks even louder sometimes, or it may seek that when we get together and we prepare our hearts. Pastor Robert Morris, in his book Frequency, said this, and I love the statement. He says, God comes to a prepared environment. One of my favorite stories, which I think is the best story that wraps up the gospel, that tells us about the gospel, is the story of the loss of the prodigal son. I think it's amazing. I love it. I love everything about it. And the story about when the son finally says, hey, I've sinned against you, God, I'm going to go home, and he goes. One of the things that's really stood out to me a lot is that the father looked for him. The father loved him. The father even gave him his inheritance when he said, I wish you were dead, Dad, give me my money. And he went. But each day he prayed for him. Each day he wanted him to return. Each day he was like, maybe today could be the day. But he never went to the far-off country where he was. He never went to the area. If he went to find the son's heart wasn't ready to come home. What he needed was the son's heart to get ready to be home. And when he came and said, I'll be your servant, he said, no, you're my son. And God is waiting for us to prepare our hearts so that he can plant the seed of the gospel in us and his love. We need to break it. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 7. It said, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let us make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. So right now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a group participation, and you're the group that's going to participate, all right? And so I want everybody to stand up right where you are. You don't have to put anything down. If you're able, if not, no big deal. But I want you to stand up. You don't have to put your stuff down. It's not going to be that long. And I'm going to play a sound in here in a little bit. And only some of you are going to be able to hear it. So here's what I want you to do. If you hear the sound, now I'll tell you it's not like a speaker crackle, but if you hear the sound, sit down. If you don't, stay standing up. Everybody got me? Don't cheat either. Jesus is watching. All right? You ready? Okay, Melinda and team, can you play it back there? All right. How many heard nothing? How many heard something? What'd you hear? Okay. If you're standing, you're old. All right. Have a seat. Have a seat. Go ahead. All right. Just let you know. Okay. Didn't that freak you out, the people? Just to let you know, I've never heard it ever. I haven't heard it. What you heard is 7.4 kilohertz. And it's like basically the sound of a mosquito, very high pitched. And younger people hear it, and older people don't. Now, older is like 20 some 30, okay? You'll see that time and time again. And the reason why we didn't hear it, like I said, is because we're old. And at one point, you were able to hear it. At one point in your life, when you were running around at age, you know, 6 or 7, you would have heard it. But the older you get, your ears get dull and you can't hear it anymore. In a spiritual sense, let's look at this. The older you get, the more life experience that you have, the more you take on, the more noise that you listen to in life, the more you tend to shut out, and unless your ears are dull and you don't hear God as much. Young people hear because their ears are fresh. And it's really cool. In England, there's this really posh, like, Beverly Hills kind of place in England, and these kids, these teens would hang out there. They would just hang out outside, and the people who owned these places were really upset. They're like, my gosh, we can't get people in because they're all hanging out here. Nobody wants to come by them. They're always just, you know, in the way. And so they hired a Scottish security firm, Howard Stapleton, and he invented what he called the mosquito teen repellent. And what they did, they put speakers outside and they played that. And all the old people who spent the money were just going in. The young people got away because they couldn't take that sound. It was driving them absolutely crazy. And what's really funny is, like, some teens then twisted around. They download that and put that as a ringtone so that teachers and parents don't have a clue that their phone is ringing when somebody wants to get hold of them. So somebody here is like, that is a good idea. That's why I came to church. I learned something today from church. All right, there you go. All right, so, but there's a great spiritual comparison as well here. And here's what's interesting. From a spiritual standpoint, there is a beautiful metaphor in comparison to this. You know, I know the sound was there. I downloaded it. I've downloaded it several different times. I tried to hear it in different ways. I even did the one where it climbs up, and right when it gets to that point, I'm gone. All right? And it was there, but a bunch of us couldn't hear it. In a spiritual sense, we live life, we experience life, we get beat up in life, and we don't hear God as clearly as we once did. But it's interesting, Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't talking about going to heaven, he was talking about having the kingdom here. You can't have everything I have in store for you until you shut out the noise and just like a little kid, just hear me. And there's a beautiful part of this, that no matter how old you get, you can still come to Jesus like a little child. You can still tune your heart back into his voice and still return to him again and again and again, saying, God, I want to believe and I want to trust and I want to hope and I want to hear and I want to have joy in you again. I'm just passionate enough about you to get rid of all that junk in my life and so I can hear you. The Apostle Paul said, don't let anyone look down at you because you're young, because you'll set the example for believers in your life. And I encourage you to come back to the Lord and let him renew that innocence and faith that you can have. All right, so that's the three things there. And how can we hear him now? So since that illustration is on young people hearing and as you go through life and a little bit not, I want to show you a story in the Old Testament where a little boy could hear God's voice and an older guy named Eli, who had once heard God's voice, served God. He was a high priest. It was his job for the people and everything, could no longer hear God's voice. And let's look at this. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to start with some verses that aren't in your guide at first, just to set up. So it says, the boy, who is Samuel, ministered before the Lord under his mentor, who is Eli. And in those days, watch this, the word of the Lord was rare. Now, I don't believe God stopped talking. I believe people stopped listening. I believe that Israel had gotten to a point. We learned that Eli's boys were really bad, really, really bad. And what had happened is the people had been through captivity. They'd been through all kinds of stuff. They had been conquered. They had all this kind of stuff back and forth. And they were kind of going through the motions for most part. And I think they were saying God wasn't speaking, but he was. They just weren't listening. They weren't in the fertile soil and able to have that grow. And so there were not many visions, so that people weren't dreaming anymore. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the house of the Lord where the ark was. So we're going to come back to that in a little bit, that it was there. That's where God called him. And then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, nope, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Why'd you wake me up? All right? And he said, so he went and laid down. And again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. He said, now Samuel did not, this is key. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. So he knew about God. He's learning stuff in the temple, but he had not yet known God himself. That tells me, just being in a church or your parents, sometimes people meet me and they'll find out a pastor and they'll say, oh, my grandfather's a pastor. I'm like, that's great. What about you? You know what I mean? That's what you're saying. But, you know, just like they say, standing in a garage doesn't make you a car, all right? So the thing is here, Samuel was doing the right things and he was in the right area for being nurtured, but he had not yet known and connected to God for himself. And a third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told him, go and lie down. And if he calls you again, and here's what my hope is, if there's anything that you hear today that you'll do this. He says, here's what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as he did the other times. And then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears tingle. Anybody had some tingling ears? Anybody heard something? You're like, ooh, that's what it means. Anybody? You never heard any news? Anybody got some good juicy gossip? And you go, ooh. Or something new comes out. You're like, ooh, I know something you don't know, right? Here's what he's telling Samuel. I am going to show you what it's like to hear my voice. And I'm going to do some really awesome things. And so in this verse, I'm going to take directly from this verse, real quickly, three things that we can do to hear God's voice. Are you ready? Three ideas to help create an environment where we can hear God's voice. Because God is speaking and will speak. Number one, as we read his word, we've got to get into the Bible in order to hear his voice. I've heard it said the Bible is the only book where when you read it, the author speaks to you as you do. In 1 Samuel, it says, he, Samuel, was laying by the lamp of the Lord, right? What is the lamp? Now, we know historically it would have been, you know, the lampstand in the temple and everything. But here's what Scripture says. Psalm 119, 105, and I think of Amy Grant. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light into my path. You all want to sing it now, don't you? All right, anyway. The Bible is not meant to be a historical record. It's not meant to be a conglomeration of nice stories. It's not even meant to be a self-help book. The Bible is meant for one thing. The Bible is meant to connect you to God and to illuminate your life. That's why it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. that when you read scripture and you really get to the point of reading and just hearing from God, there are things that will leap out of the page at you. And you say, well, what if I don't get anything when I read it? I've tried to read it before. Keep reading. Keep reading. Some of you may be auditory and you need to hear it. Like, it's really cool with some of the Bible apps. You can have some really British guy talk to you and it's really kind of cool. Like, hello, the Lord said, and you're like, oh, this is good. You can have it dramatized and whatever you need. Just get the word of God in you, all right? Because you can't have an illuminated life if you don't have the word of God, which is a lamp into your life. And it is the living word of God, and you can trust God. And if the Bible seems difficult for you, I want to help you. Back in 2019, before the world went absolutely insane, I did a message series called The Word Written. And I think it's about 4 weeks, and four or five weeks. And I want to encourage you to take a look. It's on the web. And I talked about how the Bible can be trusted, how people think it's changed and it hasn't, how it's proven over and over again, and how you can work it into your life. Okay, they're the main things there. So go ahead, just listen to them, and it's for you there. Now, I would encourage you all to just really kind of ask, where am I in the Word of God? And it's a new season right now. Don't you just kind of feel like the new season in the fall? It's the fall, the weather's slowly changing. It's a season of changes and adjustments in our schedule, and we're running around, and we make fresh commitments here and different ones. We have some kids that are in different schools and all that kind of stuff. Some are going to college. And so what would it mean, ask yourself this question, what would it mean to make a new commitment and a fresh start with God? It's a perfect time. That today's actually Rosh Hashanah, all right, in the Jewish faith, all right? And so what I want you to know is commit not to just going one single day without some word from God, like a verse, read a chapter if you have more time, or a psalm, or read, you take a month and read Proverbs. There's 31 of them. So pick a month that has 31 and go for it. Or pick one that has 30 in case you miss one day. Other options, the one-year Bible is online. And it's Old New Testament. It goes each day, an Old and New Testament verse, a psalm, and a proverb, reading with a devotional, 10 or 15 minutes. And if you read them all, then you'll do the Bible in 1 year. That's why it's called the one-year Bible. And you can pick it up right where you left off. All right, YouVersion has multiple plans. It's free download, and you can actually do plans and invite others to do in the reading plan with you. She hears me, and she wants to get to her papa, but that's good. All right. There are multiple Bible versions. You can do it on computer, smartphone, tablet. You can catch up button, so if you get really behind, you can go ahead and catch up, and you don't feel guilty. All right. Maybe you want to join some of our Bible studies. That's why we do it. We do it to come together, and we do it to get into the Word of God. And on October 16th, we're going to begin a fast-track version of Disciple 4, which is the writings, which is some of the Old Testament writings. Daniel and Esther are included in that. And then the Gospel of John in the New Testament, James, Jude, and then, because of the last series and the feedback, we're going to get into the book of Revelation. All right, so that's 24 weeks. Okay, we're taking it down from 32 to 24. We challenge you to come out. I don't care whether you ever read that most Bible you've read is right here. It's a time to grow and do that. Remember God in your calendar and do that. Have a place, etc., etc. Psalm 119 says, "I rise before dawn. I cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." Some of us getting up early is great because it starts the day off right. And so I promise you, if you want to hear God's voice, you got to get into his word and he'll speak to you. Number two, how else do we do that? As we nurture his presence, it says that he was by the ark. All right? He was by the ark. So you say, what is the ark? Anybody ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? Okay. And you've seen, or you might have seen movies or documentaries or other things about the Ark of the Covenant. It's a box that held three things: the Ten Commandments, Aaron's staff that budded, and a jar, golden jar of manna that was in there. Over the top, they had a top cover, and over the top, there were these angels, and they were covering their faces, and they had these wings like this, and the wings were touching. Well, not touching, but coming close. And where those wings were is called, the top of it is called the mercy seat, all right? And it's where the physical manifestation and the presence of God dwelt in the Old Testament. And when they were you would actually see a pillar of fire or cloud that was the presence of God that was there. You could actually physically, that was the place that was there. Actually, when they had it in the temple and they had to sacrifice for the sins of the people, tradition tells us that the high priest that would go in would have to sacrifice and give a sacrifice of blood for himself and then for the people. And if he did anything wrong, the belief or understanding was is that you would die. So he would have little bells around the bottom of his robe, and they would tie a rope on his foot in case he went in there and screwed up, right? If he messed up, how are you going to get him out? Right? That's true. And that's what they did. So that is the mercy seat of God. You remember in Indiana Jones where they opened up the box and all of a sudden the presence of God came out and the guy melted? Anybody remember me? That's kind of what their understanding or belief was. And so that's the mercy seat. In the New Testament, where is the place where God dwells? Worship. Worship. What do you mean, Cohen? God is attracted to worship. God loves worship, and the worship is for him. God gets a big kick and enjoyment. He's drawn to it. When somebody's saying, oh, I love my God. Oh, God is good. He's like, who's that? Somebody's talking about me, and they're talking about me good. I'm going to go over here and say, oh, 4,000 tongues. Oh, I like that one. Oh, how great is our God? Oh, yeah. You're going to run to the Father. Somebody needs to get close to me. And guess what? When somebody's crying out, I need to get close to you, God says, all right. You're singing to me, and I want to get close to you. He loves worship. He created it to be worshipped. He's worthy of it. That's where we get the term worship from. God loves worship, and if you worship, he will find you. He will find you. In 1 Chronicles, it says, the eyes of the Lord are ranging to and fro. And I believe God's ranging to and fro through churches, saying, ain't nobody here talking about me. Ain't nobody here loving me. Ain't nobody here really wants to worship me. Oh man, they say it, but they ain't living. They don't really desire. I know their hearts. They're doing it with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Right? God wants you to worship. God wants you to worship intensely. John 4 says the Father is seeking worshipers. Where are they at? Where are they at? He's looking to us to nurture or cultivate the presence of God. I preach so many times on worship because I love it. I can have the worst time. I can have the most hectic thing. I can hear something horrible before I go in. And if I go into a worship part, I'm like, all right, let's go, God. When Dad was dying on hospice, Jill was on her way, or she always beat me there, but I was talking to her, and I said, hey, and I knew this wasn't needed. I said, for Dad's funeral, we got to have a worship service. Because if anybody knew my dad, he loved worship. He loved worship. And we should too. This is the God who sent his son to live and die for us. And we should worship him. He's so worthy. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't like worship here, you're going to really hate heaven. Because that's all it is. Most of the time, just giving him praise. Just giving him praise. I've had some amazing worship experiences. I've had some. I had one this Thursday. I worship with thousands of people. It was at the Philadelphia Eagles game, right? Think about it. We have worship. They score a touchdown. You have a fight song you sing. Everybody stands up, right? People stand up in the middle of the game. Woo! Yeah! Ah! Yeah! Fly! Eagles fly! That Ravens one, I don't know what it is, but they have one too, you know? And West Virginia, you want to freak people go to West Virginia, start playing Country Roads, right? Almost heaven. You'll have thousands of people. West Virginia, we got beat. No, Blue Ridge Mountains, they don't care. That's worship. Do you realize what I'm saying? That's worship. And we worship so many other things. And I'm a WVU fan and a Philadelphia fan. Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, and the Flyers are in there somewhere. And we scream and yell like fools, and I love it. It's an awesome thing. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you look at me, you think I'm absolutely insane, because I am. And guess what? I become a fool for those teams when I'm not becoming a fool for Christ. That I need to be more like David. When David was dancing before the Lord, and he came home, and his wife said, how undignified. And he said, hey, honey, I'm going to become even more undignified because I love my God. He would have a banner for God. He would have a jersey that said, probably three, you know, to get it for the Trinity, you know, be like, hey, my God's awesome. Woo! Yeah. That's how he was. He was a worshiper. And God's seeking them. God is seeking them. In Genesis chapter 3:8, it says, they heard the sound of God, of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool of the day. Walking in the garden. I always remember when we would have like these meetings in church and they have the hymn books and somebody yells something. There's always in like the older lady section, they'd say, in the garden. And you'd be like, oh, in the garden. Here we go again. In the garden. Here we go. In the voice. And, you know, and then when you look at the verses of that, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You see, whoever wrote that was a worshiper. Because they're like, I got a lot of stuff in life, but I'm just hanging in the garden with God. And I'm joyous about it. I'm just going to hang out some more. How many times would you say, man, Jack, you've been preaching this long. Preach for another 4 hours. I'm having fun. You know, that doesn't happen, right? Oh, sing 25 songs today. I'm really excited about that. But then it says, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. So that verse is so tragic. They were created for fellowship and worship with God. And yet they were covering up and hiding in their worship. What do we need to do? We need to go to the garden and just worship. And you can and tell God what's on your heart. You say, well, Jack, I'm mad. Tell him. Jack, I'm angry. Tell him. Jack, I'm frustrated. Tell him. He already knows. Jack, I'm falling apart. He knows. Tell him. Tell him. Just walk with him for a while. Share with him. Love him, adore him, worship him. I love Job and I love Psalms because it's all about God, my life is falling apart. I'm dealing with all this stuff, but you are still God and I will forever praise you. That's where we got to get back to. So we got get in his word, nurture his presence. Last one, here we go. And then we get planted in a church. Why? Because he was in the temple. God spoke because that little boy was in the temple. Samuel was in the temple. Devote yourself. Dive in. Get connected. We have people here today, and that's awesome. Get connected. Get in a group that we have. Psalm 92 says, my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of the Lord. Samuel planted his life in the house of the Lord, and his life flourished. And what would have happened to Israel. They would have failed a long time before if it wasn't for Samuel. So the question is, Jack, what are you saying? I believe God will speak to you in a small group, in a Bible study, in serving in community kitchen, during a men's and women's group, at Bunko, wherever you are. You know, I was always in church when I was, from the point I was born. And I remember going to my first concert at the age of 15. It was Chicago after Peter Cetera left. I know, right. Not really decent. And I went with some friends. Somebody had an extra ticket, so they said, you want to go? And I went, and we were in the nosebleed section, and someone must have been taking that song as a hard habit to break, seriously, because some people were lighting up some habits up there. You know what I mean? And you know, my first thing was, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to hell. You know, all these people up here. And it was like, and, you know, yeah, Chicago, I didn't expect that, but it's a concert. I got that now. And then when it said, along comes the woman, there's a line in there that says, there's a change in the air that you're breathing tonight. There was a lot of change in the air up there. I can tell you that. And trust me, Chicago fans, nobody really knew or cared what time it was by the end of that concert with all the stuff they were smoking. But anyway, I was just like, what, where the heck am I? And I just thought about that. But then I started thinking about my life, and you know, so much has happened to me that has been the best part of my life. It's happened in the church. Baptized, married, came to Christ, had my children baptized, spirit-filled at church, mentored and discipled at church, called to ministry in church, connected to my best friends in life in church. I was thinking, most of my best friends in life, the ones that I'm still talking to and still spend time with, I met them in church. Danny, who was one of my best friends ever, who went on to be with the Lord, I met him in church and at the YMCA, all right? I've seen miracles in church, and I could go on and on and on and on. To hear God, you got to get in the right environment, and you got to not just come to church, but get connected in church. There's a saying, bananas don't grow in Alaska. You got to have the right atmosphere in the right place. If you want the right fruit, you've got to have the right environment. All right. So if you heard something, so I'm going to tell you something today. Ready? Here, you heard something from God because you're simply here. You heard something. You heard a lot more than somebody who's on the golf course or in bed or eating breakfast. Pour yourself into God. And I promise, he will speak so loudly that you're going to need earplugs to keep him quiet so you can sleep at night. All right? So that's what I want you to do. Hear the voice of God. Put it to practice this week. Amen? All right, let's stand up and let's worship God. And remember, God's seeking worshipers. He's going to and fro. All right, so I'd like you just, if you will, just to bow your heads in prayer and just focus on the Lord and how good he is to you. I mean, that the part of worship is just being in a point where you go ahead and you say, man, I'm just amazed. You ever met somebody famous? Anybody ever met somebody famous? I met Mr. Rogers in the bathroom up in New York City. On the way to Israel, he was going to Russia. He was a pastor, and he was going on a mission to Russia. And so, that's kind of cool to meet Mr. Rogers. He's nice there. He kept his shoes on, but anyway. But, you know, like when you meet somebody who's famous and you just go, wow, or somebody that's like your idol or somebody, oh, wow, somebody you just really think, that's amazing. You're meeting the God of the universe. He loves you. He's not just going to sign an autograph and move on and say thanks. And he loves you. He wants to autograph your heart. He wants to write his word in your heart and tell you how much he loves you. He wants you to accept his son. He wants you not to have to struggle with his stuff in life. He wants you to just give it all to him and just worship him. He's worthy of it. So let's just pray, if you will, with me, bow your heads and every eye closed and every head bowed. And Father, I pray for this church today. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to them right now. I pray that everybody here will just pray this prayer. God, speak, for your servant is listening. God, I'm listening right now. Speak, for your servant is listening. You say, Holy Spirit, speak to me right now. And I pray, God, that in Jesus' name, you would just touch people's lives. And God, show us where we have competition for your voice. Help us turn down the noise of the world so that we can hear you. Show us where we're too busy. Show us the way out so we can slow down a little bit and make some more time for you. Show us how to prepare our heart by reading your word and worshiping you in the garden, by planting ourselves in a life-giving church to speak to us. God is speaking and drawing into you. Maybe you feel far from God, and maybe your heart has been drawn to get your life right with God today. Maybe it's because if Jesus was to come back right now, you're not even sure whether you'd go with him. Maybe you're a Christian and you've backslidden or just gotten away from God, and it's time for you to come home. The Father's waiting. That prodigal has gone off, and the Father's waiting every day and saying, come back. I'm waiting for you. Come home. So Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, and thank you for paying for my sins. Today, Lord, as each of us say this, I receive what you did, and I ask that you forgive me. And today I surrender my life to you and make it personal. Be my Lord. Be number one in my life. And I want to serve you, and I'm going to start by worshiping with all my heart. I'm going to live for you. Thank you for setting me free, Lord. And God, we celebrate everybody who prayed that prayer here, online, or wherever, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There are people to pray with you, and we're also here to honor God by giving back today.
is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone, I want you to have a great week. Next week, we're going to talk about, what about heaven? Okay, we're going to talk about heaven. And then we're also going to have, we have a special event. Remember, after church, going to have some fun stuff going. Just plan on coming and staying out and having a good time. Everybody have a safe and awesome week. Enjoy the weather. God bless.